The teacher says, Shankara points out, that it's a question of being free from the desire for these things, the hankering desire for these things, not necessarily from the things themselves, but he must be able to walk away from them when it's necessary to do so. Then in the Upanishadic passage we read, it said, the knower of the self, Yajivakya, one of his main teachings was the knower of the self, then he becomes, he knows about learning, he masters the texts, then he enters the childlike state. And this is explained by Shankara as the same as what the Gita gives as what's translated straightforwardness. It means literally straight, and it's contrasted with twisted. Now this comes, this virtue comes four times in the Gita, hardly in the Upanishads at all, but it comes four times in the Gita in very important places. 13.7, there's the list of the qualities. Humility, modesty, harmlessness, patience, straightforwardness, service, purity, steadiness, self-control. Then in the 16th chapter, fearlessness, purity, straightforwardness. In the 18th chapter, serenity, self-restraint, tapas, endurance, purity, forgiveness, straightforwardness. And in the 17th chapter, it comes with the straightforwardness, brahmacharya, purity. Now, a former warden of Shantisadan said this means being sincere. And one example that was given was that it's very easy to twist a text in an obviously insincere way, but it's nevertheless possible. You knock your foot and you get a little cut. So you go to the doctor. He doesn't clean it, he just slaps a plaster on it. Then it becomes infected, it swells up. He just looks at it, oh, it'll be all right. And he puts another plaster on it. Then the time comes, it gets very bad. And the doctor says, well, the leg will have to come off. And you say, what? This was just a little cut. What have you been doing? And the doctor says, well, I don't work for results. Then you've only got one leg, so you decide to sell your little house in London and go and live next to your sister in the country, who says she'll look after you. So you ask you've only got one leg and it's difficult, so you give your solicitor a power of attorney. But when the time comes to negotiate fix the actual contract, he wants to get away to a television program, so he just signs, and they leaving them to fill in the figures. And they fill it in for £20. So instead of your 20,000 as you hope to get, you get £20 for your house. And you say to the solicitor, what were you doing? And he said, well, if it's your karma to get a given prize, you'll get it. It doesn't matter what I do. If it's your karma to get £20, you'll get £20. You see? And that's what's happened. And similarly, he said, we can say, oh, well, it's been a disaster, but if that's the way the Lord wants it, we accept it. When all these examples were given by a teacher as examples of insincerity. The texts are used, but actually they're being used insincerely. And in the Masnavi, not the Masnavi, in the one of the Sufi classics, the example is given where Adam is created and Iblis, who is an angel, and all the other angels are told to bow to Adam, the man. Now Iblis refuses. He says, You, the Lord, have given the ordinance, you shall not bow down to any other than me. I dare not disobey that ordinance. And the Lord says to him, Allah says to him, but I'm telling you now, bow down to Adam. And Iblis says, I cannot go against your ordinance. And the Lord says, then you will be banished to hell. And Iblis says, shall I see you from hell? And the Lord says, yes, you'll see me. In your torment, you'll still see me. And then Iblis says, then I am content. Well, it sounds very noble, but actually, as is pointed out, it's simply his pride that he won't bow down to Adam. And all this business about obedience to the ordinances and this very high-souled explanation is simply to cover up his pride. And the childlike state, Shankara says, is one which does not calculate. In his explanation, he gives two explanations of this in the Brahma Sutras and elsewhere. And it's one where there's no twisting and trying to adapt something to suit himself. Then the final teaching of Yajnavalkya is what the Upanishad, the very ancient Upanishad, quotes these five steps on the way, which are that he is withdrawn. And people say, oh, no, we don't want to withdraw from the world. We must pay back to the world, because we ourselves receive our living from the world. We must pay back to the world. Not this withdrawal, not this running away from the world. But actually, if we look, and our teacher often pointed this out, if we look at history, we shall see that it is the ones, the people of meditation, who, in fact, do benefit the world and do something for the world. Whereas the others, busy though they are often destructive